Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Just what did those Levites go out into the wilderness to see when they went out to see John? They want to know, as they say, who are you? They're not asking for the simple answer of, well, I'm John, the son of Zechariah, himself a Levite. They're asking something more. What was John doing out there in the wilderness preaching repentance and baptizing sinners? He had not been sent to do this by the rulers of the temple or the land. And yet the Levites, one sent by the Pharisees to investigate the situation, who were supposed to be the teachers of Israel, they fail miserably in our account today to know even the basics. John preempts them and answers them right off the bat. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." It would be the height of failure for John if people were thinking that he was the Christ. Because John's job, his sole focus, his calling in life, is to point not to himself, but to Christ, the one who is to come. Because John is the forerunner. As this gospel says before our lesson today, that John was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And as this lesson unfolds, he does that quite well, turning the focus from himself to Christ. And along the way, he lays low the high places of the Pharisees and these Levites in their pride, as maybe he does also for us today as well. Well then, are you Elijah? Nope. Now this can cause us to wonder some if you know the verses that came right after last week's gospel lesson, where Jesus says that indeed John was Elijah who was to come. But John here is answering not that he is the person of Elijah, the one who had been carried off in the chariot of fire, that he'd come back to earth somehow, but that John is, as the scriptures foretold, John came in the spirit and the manner of life of Elijah. He was there to be the sign of Christ's coming, as the prophet Malachi had prophesied. Hearing his answer to that, they asked, "Well, then, are you the prophet?" No. Key here is the word "the" in the prophet. It is a reference to what we heard in our Old Testament lesson today from Deuteronomy 18, where Moses prophesies that the Christ will come and he will be the prophet who will be given the very words of God to speak from his mouth, surpassing Moses and the law with him by bringing the very gospel that saves sinners. At this point, those inquisitors sent by the Pharisees, sent out to this wilderness place to investigate this very strange preacher, they are frustrated with John, and they threaten him by mentioning the authorities that sent them. "Who are you? We have to give an account. You know who sent us." But John is no reed shaking in the wind. He confesses and does not deny. So he quotes Isaiah about who he is. They asked him, "What do you say of yourself?" Well, he says about himself what Scripture says about himself, that he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." That is, as he is the forerunner, he is sent to rebuke sin and to call all sinners to repentance, no matter how highly the world regards them, in order that the way of God, the way of Christ in the flesh, would be made ready. Do you see and hear the rebuke in store for us in the person and preaching of John and the example of the Levitical inquisitors and their Pharisee masters today? At the simplest level, when someone asks you who you are, do you run to what God's Word says about you? In fact, it proves that our minds need more of that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, that it might guard our minds from more becoming so worldly, that our worldliness, as it often is our first go-to answer on these things, but that instead we would run to God's Word and how God defines us as His children, baptized, righteous in God's eyes. That may God grant this, indeed, as you hear the word today, through which He provides that peace which surpasses all understanding. Now, the rebuke of the Levites and the Pharisees is a little more subtle. John rebukes their missing the present for all of making their pretense about caring about the future. That the forerunner, the one of whom Isaiah spoke, the one of whom Malachi spoke, He is standing there right in front of them, and He's telling them that the Christ is already among them. He's there in the present. But they reject His word about Isaiah and Him as the forerunner, and they, of course, just utterly ignore the news that the Christ is right there amongst them. They had more important things to do. To make it appear that they were truly the godly ones, they had to get back to their masters, the Pharisees, who were, of course, always the best at making appearances while hiding away their true nature from the crowds. That they only showed interest in John, and really in Christ, in order to appear like they were doing their job. But in the end, they reject both the forerunner and Christ Himself in the present, pretending to still be looking for them in the future. There's great rebuke in that for us, because we have Christ coming to us in the present by His word and sacrament. That's what the Bible teaches over and over again when it's talking about the time from Christ's ascension to the right hand of the Father until the time when Christ comes again in glory. That the rebuke is, how have we received Christ in the present? How have we regarded His word? How have we sought out and received His sacrament? How have you thought of your baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution, both in public and in private? Have these things fueled your life this year? Have you ordered your days and your nights around the right reception of Christ by word and sacrament now? Have you risked all, even death, rather than fall away from Christ as He comes now? People are so interested in the topic of Christ's return. But the reality is their daily lives reflect more and more that they don't care about how Christ comes now. And frankly, if you don't make how He comes now a priority in life, a part of your piety as a Christian, then how on earth or in heaven would you ever be ready for when He comes in glory at the last? The sad answer for many is they won't be ready. The preaching of John by the spirit of Elijah struck people as odd because it was so frank and so upfront. It revealed the sins. When we think we are fine, when we think that we can do without Christ in this present life, which we do each day that we leave His Word behind, each time we disregard the supper, the law of our Lord goes out and it strikes our mountaintops that we think we stand on, it strikes them low. Make straight the way of the Lord. Repent. Amend your ways. Receive Him now as He comes, if you care about His coming at the last. That Advent is indeed a penitential season, a season full of repentance, a season of confessing your sins and looking to Christ in the present for the forgiveness of those sins. Make straight the way of the Lord. That Christ Jesus, the prophet who is God and speaks God's word, that the forerunner, John the Baptist, came preaching that stern law, rebuking all false pretense of piety and all sins, even those hidden away from the eyes of men, but fully in view of the eyes of God. As forerunner, then, he laid low the high places. But as forerunner, he was also given to lift up the valleys. Those who are destroyed by the law, the very ones who are struck low, sinners who acknowledge their sins in need of forgiveness, who know their sins and know that they cannot save themselves, to them the forerunner is given the command to bring comfort. That if you have the life of a hypocrite and know it, confess it. If you have neglected Christ here and now, confess it. If you have been a greater devotee of the news cycle than the Word of God, confess it. If you have let the fear of death surpass the fear of God in your life, confess it. That this year has pulled back the shades on so many of our sins. And so many of our idols have been crushed in front of us, ground up before our very eyes, and we've been made like the people of God before us to drink the remains in a bitter drink in this life. But we are never without help. And thus we are never without hope. As we see these things as they are true about ourselves. Because Christ means comfort. Christ means salvation to the repentant. That the hearers, who hearing John declare these things on that day, if they would have stayed by John, even though he preached a stern law, would also hear him declare the very next verse after our lesson today, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Indeed, pointing out the Christ who was among them, the Savior. For the voice crying out in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord is also declaring comfort for God's people. For those who know their sinfulness and look for a Savior. That the one who was greater than John was among them, even as John rebuked their sins and proclaimed Christ. That the same Christ is among you today, even as your sins have been exposed. And unlike the Levites and the Pharisees of John's day, you know Christ. He's been preached to you over and over again. You have eaten His flesh and drank His blood. You have been baptized into His death and resurrection. That as the Lamb of God, He is the one who offered Himself up for the sins of the world, yes, even yours. That John proclaimed a Christ who was not going to be high and mighty as the world saw things, but the true Christ who was rejected by the world. But the true Christ who redeemed the world by His own blood. That He did not compete for people's attention, but was, as he was sent, focused on the redemption of the ungodly by God himself in the flesh. That our Lord Jesus spoke plainly of who he was, and those born of God heard him and knew who he is. You do too. No matter how many, no matter how nasty or filthy those sins that have been brought into your mind, no matter how many idols have had to be struck down, Christ Jesus is your redemption in the present, right now. That's the message of the kingdom of God in the present. It's a message of repentance and forgiveness. That this day is still a day full of God's grace and forgiveness. That there is a day coming that will indeed change to the day of glory, but a day of salvation and redemption for you at the last. So make the present. Spend your days now as one who wants to be awake and ready on that final day. That Christ has come. Christ still comes now. And Christ will come again. That this week is a beautiful week to end this penitential season of Advent with the good news of great joy for all the people. It is a week to hear of what lengths our God, our triune God, has gone to redeem the lost. That means you. And it means everyone around you. It means that it's time to bring them to hear that message. Because the days are growing shorter. Let them know that Jesus, as he comes now, comes in grace and forgiveness, that they may know it, believe it, that they may rejoice as well as you at his coming at the last. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.